Oh, that's comfort food, isn't it, Linda Burgess?
Now, if my dog, he's just been dragged out for a walk, so he doesn't interrupt me here. But the minute that music comes on, now he's only one this week, the second the opening bars come on, he leaps up from the sofa and gets extremely excited.
Now, does he?
I expect people will be texting and emailing you like mad saying their animals do the same, because I mentioned it on Facebook last night because it's so funny. I mean, how does he know? He's only seen it, you know, a couple of times. But immediately another friend got back and said, oh, my cat does the same. Now, there is nothing about that music. And I reckon everybody should be emailing you right now saying, oh, my dog does too. Because it's amazing. But I love Country Calendar, and I was just thinking that today I want to talk about perfect pandemic viewing. I'm not going to be anywhere near a submarine or a stolen child or anything tense, because I reckon that actually everybody I know is slightly mad at the moment, and I know it's worse in Auckland. I know it is than it is in Wellington, but it's bad enough here. There's an awful sort of sadness that hangs over the country.
I must admit, there's no part of me that really wants to watch Squid Game at the moment, even though I'm the last person on Earth who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, no, you're second to last. I'm there too. My daughter said to me, Mum, you're not allowed. I'm not going to let you. Don't. She said it's awful. She said it's good. Yeah. She said no. But I'm actually re-watching Succession just to get back into the... And that's sort of...
Oh, yeah.
But that's sort of fantastic. But they're rich and you don't sort of care what happens to them. What you do, but that's different. But no, Country Calendar. And last night when Badger did, he sat bolt upright with the opening music and we just laughed. And then it's yet again another fabulous young couple, you know, who homeschool their kids and their kids eat sort of kale and sourdough bread and stuff. It was sort of brilliant. But they also make you feel as if another time and place that you could do it yourself, you could go and live in the country. Look, I'm bone idle. The chances of me ever in my life having done something like that. Robert could, because he beavers away, you know, but I don't. I want to read and think. And so, but I can imagine when I watch it, I can imagine doing it. It's a very, very clever program, Country Calendar.
It's a glimpse into a very idyllic version of New Zealand, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and it's mostly people, you know, if they go into a cheese making business or whatever, they don't very often take failures. Whereas sometimes with those grand designy sort of programs, you see people, their lives collapsing around them. I suppose it is implied sometimes in country mostly, because I mean, nobody really in New Zealand. We're a very urban country, hugely urban, but we've got this myth, you know, that we're really, you know, only a number 8 wire away from the land ourselves. Yeah. And summing up why it works, I think it's because it's very well edited. It doesn't take itself too seriously either, you know. It's not earnest. And if it was worthy and earnest, I mean, you'd get sick of it. And you don't always have to watch it. You know, you watch it when you feel like it. You watch it I know a lot of people who actually love it. And that's now, even now, when people actually aren't watching television anymore. I wonder who watches it on demand. I mean, it would be a really nice thing on a Sunday afternoon when you're a bit tired and sad to watch Calendar, you know, on demand.
Interesting what you say about it not being, what was the word you used? It's not judgmental. It's interesting the power of a message, for example, an environmental message, when you're just telling somebody's story and why they did it, as opposed to telling other people what they should do.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so, so it's not pious. You know, it's not, I do really love it for that. I mean, every time I watch it, I think, God, I like this. You know, actually, the first TV review I think I wrote for the Dominion Post, I wrote about Country Calendar, and also perhaps, and then I met, I think, Julian, who I think he might be still the producer of it, actually, met him at a TV thing, and he came sidling up and said, thanks, almost no one ever mentions Country Calendar in the reviews, but it's just, you know, no, it's fabulous, yeah.
And you watched a bit of the Vaxathon?
I did. I thought I'd better. I didn't see, excuse me, I didn't see you. I was looking for you, but I watch between
two. I was on from 4 till 6.
Ah, I watch between 2 and 4. Never mind, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't see you. I was looking forward to seeing you.
No, that's okay. It was. I said to Catherine today, strangely compelling viewing. It wasn't always slick and, you know, it was a bit of a mess.
It was compelling, and there was something cringe-making in a good sense about it. You know, it was sort of so ordinary. Yeah. And I looked up to see... excuse me. I looked up to see when Telethon started, because, you know, it's based on Telethon, and it was in 1975, so we were in France, still living in France then. I thought we were here for the first year of Telethon, but we were here for the second. And we used to watch it and love it, and then suddenly it started to cringe with Telethon. But the whole, I think, because it's such a good cause, I mean, I so want everybody to get vaccinated, and it did do that trick.
It did feel, I'm not a neutral on this because I was involved in it, but it felt like we needed something unifying, and that the hunger for people to be part of a cause was quite strong.
I think that was. And also to contribute and to, you know, I don't know, I think... Yeah, and also to be a bit sort of, I mean, the sight of Ashley, you know, dancing, I think that was sort of really nice. But also the Kapa Haka groups, and it was very, very collecting, you know, unifying, wasn't it? You know, there was sort of, it involved everybody, and I thought that was actually really good. And you could sit there and I thought, oh, God, there's Avalon. I used to go out to Avalon to do work. God, it was a brutal, hideous building.
So that's the factual covered, and then you've been watching Ladies in Black on Netflix.
Oh, now Ladies in Black, Netflix, a movie made in 2018 based on a novel by Madeleine St. John, or she might call herself St. John. I think it was St. John, but she's an Australian writer who actually, she died about 10 years ago, but she was a terrific writer, and she was at university with people like Clive James and Bruce Beresford, who directed this movie, and the Femme Jermaine Greer, actually. They were an amazing group of people who were... But Bruce Beresford did Driving Miss Daisy and Breaking Morant. Now, he is utterly feel-good, utterly non-sentimental. I don't know a woman who wouldn't love it. And I think most men would really enjoy it too. It's about a girl who's, when she's 16, gets a holiday job in a shop just like David Jones in Sydney. And it's really just the women who she works with, who are mostly immigrants, actually. But everybody's nice. And apparently, when they were making the movie, one of the scriptwriters said, oh, we've got to have someone mean. And Madeleine St. John said, because it was actually her her own story, Madeleine St. John said, no, but she said, there was nobody mean. They were great. And the parents are supportive, and the girl's clever and going to go to university and waiting for her exam results. It just looks at family, it looks at immigration, it looks at the 1950s, the clothes are fantastic. It's just fabulous. I mean, I think if you really want a very happy hour and a half, then you could do far worse than sit down and watch Ladies in Black on Netflix.
Does it feel like an Australian story? Or
it feels universal. In fact, the reviewers have said about it that, it is, you know, that it has a universality and, you know, really should be seen, watched everywhere equally. Well, actually, Tim Finn wrote a musical. I think it was, Tim, about based on it as well, which was showed earlier in Australia. But anyway, Ladies in Black, it doesn't feel, it's not like Muriel's Wedding. It doesn't mock. It has no sort of edge about Australianism in a way that some of those Australian movies, you know, Strictly Ballroom.
And, yeah.
I love those. I love those Australian movies. But this one, it is Australian, but it's not, that's actually around. No, what's important is that there are people who are immigrants who are working and finding their place. You know, they're mostly Greek and Italian and, you know, they're women who've, people who've come to Australia after the war. It's 1959, so quite a few of them are quite recent immigrants making their way, you know, and who've got a lot of experience often in the fashion world too. You know, they've come from quite significant jobs, when, you know, they've left behind them. But Oh, you know, it's lovely. It's terrific.
Great. Yeah. The novel was Women in Black.
Yeah, Women
and
in Black.
Apparently, I'm just reading, the film director's been trying to raise money to make the film, or tried, for 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a labour of love.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm interested they say ladies, because actually ladies, she called it Women in Black when she wrote it, but Ladies in Black is more typical of the language that was used at the time, you know, your ladies and women, you know.
Sure. Yeah, Can you give me a minute or two on I Am on TVNZ On Demand?
Well, that's terrific. That's on TVNZ On Demand, and also on Tuesday night at TV One at 8:30. It's real life New Zealand stories of people who've had to deal with quite difficult things. So, for example, each time there's one person who's basically a talking head. They have chosen their people brilliantly. They're all so compelling, and it's not grueling. Now, when you hear that there's someone with Asperger's, someone who's got a brain injury, someone who's a burn survivor, someone who's transgender and a cult survivor, you would think, oh, God, no, but very, very good. You know, you wouldn't binge because it would be a bit much, but, oh, I've seen it probably four or five. There's about 30 of them now. It's in its third series, but really good, really good. And very
great.
Reassuring, very... And very unsentimental, but inspiring, actually. Good. Yeah.
Okay, that's called I Am. Linda, great to have you in. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay, bye, Jesse.
Linda Burgess on TV.